Welcome to part three of this brief study of the Acts of the Apostles. In part one, I gave an overview of the book, presenting a bit of the historical setting and also talking about the prominent place of Acts in both the church's identity and in our liturgical life. A primary purpose of the book is to encourage and strengthen Christians in their faith by telling of the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ in places where it's welcomed and in places where it is resisted. The book of Acts gives Christians throughout the ages encouragement and direction as we seek to do the work that our Lord Christ has given us. In the second session, I talked about the person and work of the Holy Spirit and how the church's identity is so closely associated with the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, as well as how the Holy Spirit is the ongoing presence of the risen and ascended Christ who continues to be with us, to abide with us in his church as we go about the work of the church as well as in our daily lives. This third session, the third of four, is about the ways in which the gospel, as it spread throughout the Roman Empire, as it's presented in Acts, encounters religion, culture, and politics. It seems like this is a great opportunity to bring in a guest speaker, and so I'm delighted to have with me this evening the perfect person to discuss this particular topic, and that is Dr. Martha Curry, the director of the Department of World Mission for the Diocese of West Texas. Martha, welcome. I think what I'd like you to do is to share something about how the book of Acts, your reading of the book of Acts, informs your understanding of the mission of the church as well as the mission work that you and the mission teams of the diocese engage in throughout the world.
Well, thank you for this opportunity, Bishop. And I guess we have to start with the Great Commission, where Jesus told us to go into the world. And essentially, we're to share good news. Anywhere the good news comes and is received really transforms not only the culture, but the political situation. It changes the lives of the people, so you find real transformation. I think in Acts, Paul was a master at really embracing the culture, but also using it to tell the good news. For example, when he went to Athens, he saw all the various gods and the idols, we would say, spread around the city. And he went to one particular place, and he said, "Oh, I see that you have a god, a place of worship for the unknown god." And so use that as a springboard to say, "I'm here to tell you about this God." And he then proceeded to share good news. Well, as missionaries, when we go out, we try to identify with the local culture, with the indigenous people, in a way that makes the story of Jesus very real and acceptable to them. I think about a man that I met in Kenya, and he was out on a mountainside taking care of his goats. He said that Jesus actually appeared to him. These are the sorts of things that we read in the Bible, but it was such an amazing occurrence. He went into town and told the people about what Jesus had said. He was from another religion, and they were astonished, and they thought, well, maybe the sun had been too much for him. So he went back out to his goats, and a few weeks later, the same thing occurred to him. And he said Jesus talked with him and told him stories from the Bible and said, "Follow me." He invited him to come and be one of his disciples. And so the man was so excited, he said, "Yes, I'll follow you." So he ran back to town, told the story, and at that point, he was thrown out of town. He was kicked out, and by God's grace, he happened to find some of our missionaries, and they taught him more about the good news. and what he needed to do to be a Christ follower. Well, when he talks to people today, and I love this, he says, you follow Jesus because you read about him in a book. I follow Jesus because I met him personally. Well, these kinds of things where it appears that God, the God of the Bible, is connecting with people today, it's almost the same sense of the early church, where people knew and expected Jesus to appear. And so we find in our mission work that he really is making himself known around the world. Our job really is to find out where Jesus is working and then to join him there. We're not creating something new, but we're trying to live out this sort of Acts mandate of going, sharing good news, contextualizing it so that it's not a foreign gospel. I know sometimes missionaries are accused of teaching a foreign gospel. We don't want to do that. We want, just as the early disciples in the book of Acts did, we want people to know that Jesus came for the whole world. God so loved the whole world that he gave Jesus. And this is one of the main messages in Acts, that God loves the world. It's not just one segment, not just the Jewish people. He loves the whole world. So as missionaries, this is what we're sharing this. We're trying to move beyond tradition, beyond custom, beyond local religion, so that we find a place that God already is working. Our job is to recognize and realize that God is everywhere. He's there before we are. We just go to join him. And Acts is so relevant to what we do as missioners. I think about this. You mentioned politics too. And Paul encourages the new believers that they're to be under the authority of the local government. That may be something a little bit uncomfortable, but this is what he says, because he says that governments really are initiated by God. And he also says that if you're living right, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he says if you're living right, you don't have to fear authority because God is the authority.
Well, thank you for that. And that does lead to my next question, which is that the Diocese of West Texas sends missionaries to many, many places and with countries that have very different systems of government, where people live in very different circumstances than we do. Obviously, cultural norms are very different, and we often find ourselves working alongside brother and sister Christians who are very different from us in many, many ways. So as you and our missionaries go out, how do you prepare to interact not with those who are not Christian, but how do you prepare to interact with fellow Christians who in common mission? How do you bridge some of the differences that we encounter?
Well, that's an excellent question, and it does happen to us. In fact, I'm thinking of a particular incident probably a year and a half ago where we were notified that we were no longer welcome to work in a particular place. And it was devastating to us because this was one of our long-term ministries. And we talked, we discussed it, we prayed about what we could do to bridge this cultural issue. And it really was a cultural thing. I don't believe it was a scriptural or a doctrinal thing. And we came up with an idea. And so we very humbly, I think humility is one of the primary things we all need to adopt. We don't know everything, and we don't know everybody. We don't have all the answers. But if we go humbly, it seems to make it easier to connect. And so we asked for a meeting with one of the leaders in this particular country, and he was gracious to give it to us. We explained our position and our understanding of a cultural issue that was dividing us. And the longer we talked, the more we could see from his body language that he was relaxing and hearing us. Now, communication is not just talking. Communication is when somebody hears. He was hearing us. And so as I explained our position and showed him that it really could be based and could be found in the scripture, he started smiling and he said, "Oh, well, we read a lot of things in the newspapers about you in the U.S. And he said, "But you read a lot of things about us." I said, "This is true." And he said, "Well, I'll tell you, if you will not believe all the things you read in the newspaper about us, we'll agree to do the same." And when we came to a point of seeing that we did have a common place of understanding, a place of agreement, and a lot of the things that we both misunderstood about each other, those things were based on things, they were hearsay. They weren't based on personal and direct communication. So it really is our job lovingly to try to connect with people, even in areas of disagreement. And I just heard someone say this past week, we all need, not just in foreign countries, but here especially now, we need to learn to understand and to disagree on issues and not on personalities and not disagree as people, as brothers and sisters. So I think this is what we really try to do and clarify where we are scripturally, where we are with our church traditions and doctrines so that we can continue in love to work together. And really, I think the more we learn about each other, the more we understand that we are more alike than different, and that we really share a love for Jesus Christ. So it takes patience, but it takes patience on the part of our partners as well as on our parts.
Thank you. So here's a question that I wonder about a lot. Most of our short-term missionaries that go away come back and they're changed. The way they see their own lives, the way they see the life around them is different. And the church in West Texas and our congregation certainly are blessed by that experience. And a common refrain is that we gain so much more than we give. And I've experienced that myself in my missionary trips. We go to cultures and to people that are different from us, and we come back and we have our own challenges as Christians in our own culture. I'm getting old, and so American culture to me becomes more and more inscrutable and difficult for me to answer. And it's actually there, you have to ask, which culture are you talking about? And I'm wondering how, in your longer conversations or extended conversations with our mission people who come back, how they see opportunities to do mission in our own places back home, how the Holy Spirit sends them out and regathers them. A common pattern in Acts, the disciples are gathered and sent, gathered and sent. And I read the other day an article that said that in a survey, 30% of millennials, whatever age group that is now, 30% of them say that their lives are lonely. And that's tragic. And that's just one cultural aspect. But how do you see the book of Acts and the good news that's described in Acts and the movement of the church and then the movement of us going away and coming back? How do you see opportunities back home for the gospel to be shared in a culture that isn't necessarily hostile but is indifferent?
Well, I think we're looking at some real cultural issues. Primarily the people with whom we minister belong to collective cultures. In other words, they're very community oriented, their families are knit together. They do not try to live lonely, isolated lives. you come back to the United States, and we are part of the individualistic cultures. We all want to do our own thing. We are entities to ourselves, and we really don't want anybody to tell us what to do. We're not necessarily community-oriented, except in the church, where we work at building community. But when we go on mission, as I said, most of the countries, in fact, at this point, I cannot think of one of the countries where we work where it's not a collective society, where they don't work together as a unit. And, of course, this feeds right into Christianity. We're told to be a body. We're not just little people wandering around different places. And I think when our missioners go off and they see the love that so many of the people have for each other, what they accomplish by working together, and the joy they have in being part of the church, to be the family of God, it really impresses and changes. We recently took some people to Uganda who had never been there before, and they were totally awed by the sense of love and hospitality for strangers, for us as strangers. But this is part of their culture. They have learned to work together as a collective society. And I think this is the thing that most impresses people when they go on mission. They, in most places, they also see that the places we work are totally non-materialistic. So that falls away. They come back with their ideas, perhaps challenged, things that they've accepted their whole lives. Are these values important anymore? Am I doing the most important thing? And they come back to see, I need to stop living to and for myself now. I need to do something different. I see the joy that was there when the people worshiped together, when they worked together, they lived together. I want that kind of joy. I want that kind of community. And so I think it blesses the churches. We come back with a different perspective, and we find that people who do mission and come back tend to want to work in the home communities as well, because they're trying and they're learning to get out of themselves. And in fact, in Paul's writings, over and over, what he talks about is, and this is not comfortable, but death to the flesh. You know, stop just looking at your own self and your own navel. Get out of yourself, for goodness sake, and see how God would use you to minister in your neighborhood or your community, your city, whatever. And this is what mission does. I think it takes us out of ourselves.
Thank you. That's wonderful. And we're about out of time, but I want to thank Dr. Martha Curry for being part of this and sharing her wisdom and perspective, and how she, her last comments feed right into the next session of this study, where we'll consider the growth and the spread of the church in those first years in the Roman Empire. And so hope you'll come back and listen again. And thank you so much. God bless you.